Jeremiah 31 says that the time will come when God will not remember sins anymore. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight, and that is that final day of judgment. When God does not remember sins anymore. He doesn't remember now, doesn't remember them now if we're Christians. But there's a lot of controversy in the world about what's going to happen at the end of time. And so I want us tonight to talk about four final things that are going to happen. A lot of people have a lot of various ideas about this. There's the idea that when the Lord comes back, the righteous will be raptured up into heaven, and 1,000 years later, the wicked will be raised from the dead, and so many aspects of that. And there's a lot of controversy about it. And while I know that you probably already know all of these things, Peter says it's good to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And sometimes, as children of God, we find ourselves in situations where we wish we had a better understanding of some of these matters about what's going to happen at the end of time. And that's really what this lesson is designed to remind us of. And I want you to understand that it is... Sometimes people get it so complicated that they ignore some of the very easy and plain statements that are found in the Word of God. So we're going to notice tonight four truths that will help us understand what's going to happen, which by the very study of them will help us understand what's not going to happen. So you hear all of these things that you see the bumper stickers that in case of the rapture, this car will be unmanned. And you may have seen that bumper sticker. Well, what's the Bible say about the rapture and things of that nature? And what about that millennium? And what about that 1,000 years? And how does all of that fit in the end? Well, I want us tonight to look at four simple truths of things that's going to happen. Now, you've heard me use this illustration, but I think it's an amazing illustration. Some have not heard it, and therefore I repeat it. There were a group of engineers trying to figure out a universal solvent. You know, some things will dissolve in gasoline and some in acid and some in water and some in different chemical makeups. And they thought if we could just molecularly put together one compound, then everything would be able to be dissolved in that. And they're PhDs and they're the engineers that are working. They had a whole seminar about this. And the janitor came in the room and overheard what they were discussing. And he said, "Now, guys, I don't have a whole lot of education, but I just got one question to ask you. And that is, when you make this compound, what are you going to keep it in?" And you and I need to understand that sometimes it doesn't take a lot of book learning to be able to understand some things that people have made so unbelievably complex. What four things are going to happen at the end of time? In the first place, whenever the Lord comes back, because you know He is coming back when He ascended into heaven, this same Jesus that you've seen Him go into heaven will come in the manner in which you've seen Him go. What's going to happen? The first thing is, when the Lord comes back, all of the dead will be raised at exactly the same time. Now get that and put that in your head, because that in and of itself will help us understand some of these matters that are widely spoken of out in the world. You know, there are movies that are made sometimes to talk about how what's going to happen when the Lord comes back. Some of them scare you to death. But you and I need to have an understanding of what the Bible says about it. Well, here's what it says, and mark this down. When the Lord comes back, everybody in the grave will be raised at exactly the same time. Now, that's not the words of Dan. Look in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Jesus said some things that amazed His listeners. And having said some things that amazed His listeners, He says, "Do not marvel at this." Some of the things He'd said were things that were full of amazement. And then He says, "For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and come forth." Now you look at that. What does that verse say? What does that verse say? Look at the words of God. Open up your Bible there and look at John 5, 28 and 29. What does it say? It says, the hour is coming in which everyone in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Is that hard to understand? You know, if you were trying to figure out what's going to happen at the end, do you read those words and do you understand those words? Well, somebody says, well, I believe that when the Lord comes back, there's going to be the resurrection and the righteous will be raised, and 1,000 years later, the wicked will be raised. What does this verse say? Look at the rest of the verse. They will hear His voice and come forth. And then He says, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to a resurrection of condemnation. Suppose you were an angel, and the Lord gave you an assignment that says, I want you to put in one sentence that the time will come in which everybody that is in the grave will hear the same voice and everybody will come out of the grave when they hear that voice. And the Lord says to you as an angel, now I want you to put it in there plain enough so that somebody in junior high would be able to understand it. I want you to put it plain enough that somebody that's 10 years of age will be able to understand it. Or somebody that's in the senior high that has the intelligence of about somebody in the third grade, put it in languages so even they would be able to understand it. And so you try to write a verse that says, all that are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Could you say it any plainer than this? The hour is coming. Not a millennium, not thousands and thousands of years involved in this, but at that same time, in that same hour, everyone that is in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Could you make it any plainer than that? Look over in John chapter 6. You got your Bible open? Look in John chapter 6 where the Lord says, in verse 40, it is the will of Him who sent me that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. How many days will there be after the last day? How many weeks will there be after the last day? Well, you see, if there's just one more week after the last day, then that wasn't really the last day, was it? The last day, what's going to happen? Well, on the last day, the righteous are going to be raised. Could there be another 365 days after the last day? No, it wouldn't have been the last day. How many days would there be in 1,000 years? Well, forget leap year. Wouldn't there be something like 365,000 more days after the last day? How many days are there? Well, you look at this day and the day after this day and the day after this day, and when you get right over to the very end, what's going to happen? On the last day there will ever be, the righteous are going to be raised. Now, does that not in and of itself make it impossible for there to be even one more day, much less 365,000 days other than that last day? It's an impossibility. You want to keep it simple? What does the Bible say on the last day that there ever will be? All that are in the grave will hear the voice of Jesus, will hear the voice of the Lord, and they will come forth. Some to resurrection of righteousness, the others to a resurrection of condemnation. But the last day, that's what's going to happen. In the second place, whenever that day comes, this earth is going to be destroyed. You and I need to understand that the Bible says that whenever that final time comes, this earth will cease to exist. The idea that's widely taught that there will be a millennium and the Lord will come back to the city of Jerusalem and the Lord will sit on a throne in Jerusalem and rule there for 1,000 years, and that sometimes either prior to that or during that time, all of the Jews will become Christians. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Peter says to those individuals who were saying, well, I don't believe the Lord's going to come back because He has not yet come back. Look in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He hasn't come back, Peter says, and the reason He hasn't come back is He wants one more person to be saved. Sometimes we think, you think the Lord's going to destroy America? Well, He turns into hell every nation that forgets Him. Why hasn't He done it yet? Because He wants one more person to be saved, and that person might be you. Look at it again. The statement is, it will come. And when the day of the Lord comes, look at verse 10. When that day comes, when the day of the Lord comes, it will come as a thief in the night, which means no one knows when He's going to come. And when that happens, the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The heavens where the birds fly, and the heavens where the sun and the moon and the stars are found, they will pass away with a great noise. And the elements, those building blocks out of which all of the creation has been made, the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the atmosphere, the heavens will pass away, and the things out of which all of these things are made will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Now you stop and think about that. There are those individuals who says, well, I believe that when the Lord comes back, He's going to destroy the wickedness that's on this earth, and it'll not exist. The Lord's coming back, and He's going to destroy all of the wickedness that's on this earth. Well, that's true, but this verse says more than that. It does not just say that the wickedness that's in this earth will be destroyed. It says the earth itself will be destroyed. Make it as plain and as simple as you can. If you were an angel and the Lord asked you to write a statement in the Bible that whenever the end comes, that the earth itself will be destroyed, could you make it any plainer than the statement found in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 that says, both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. You'd have to have some help to read a verse like this and try to say, well, when He comes back, the Lord's going to come and destroy all the wickedness on this earth, and there will be a millennium, and the wickedness will be destroyed. The Bible says that when that day of the Lord comes, not only will evil be destroyed, the evil works that are on this earth, but that the earth itself will be destroyed. What's the third thing that's going to happen? The third thing that is going to happen whenever, the third thing that happens whenever the Lord comes back is that all of the world will be judged. We mentioned before, and we'll come to the verse in Matthew 25, but before coming to that, Look at John chapter 5, John chapter 12, and verse 48. Remember that John 6 and verse 40 says that on the last day, the righteous will be raised. But look at John chapter 12 and verse 48. For it also mentions the last day. Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judge him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now you think about that. In the last day, on the very last day, there is all that are in the grave will hear His voice. Specifically, John 6:40, the righteous will be raised. But on that last day, John chapter 12 and verse 48 says that those who reject Jesus will be judged when? On the last day. On the same day that the righteous are raised, the wicked are going to be judged. Well, somebody says, well, where does the rapture fit into all of this? May I point out to you that the word rapture is not found in the Bible even one time. That ought to tell us something. It ought to help us understand that here's an idea that is a part of the discussion out in the religious world. That talks about, well, in case of the rapture, this car will be unmanned. Where do you read about that in the Bible? Where do you read about the word rapture? It's not there. Do you not understand that ideas are expressed in words? And there are biblical words to describe biblical ideas. Do you have any trouble describing the Lord's Supper? Why not? Because that's a biblical idea, and there are Bible words to describe that very idea. You see, you cannot express ideas without using words. And there are biblical words to describe every biblical idea. What about baptism? Are there biblical words to describe baptism? Yes. But when someone comes up with a non-biblical idea, they only have two options. One is to redefine a Bible word, or secondly, to create a brand new word to describe an idea that is not a biblical idea. Let me see if I can illustrate. What about the idea of extreme unction? What about the idea of calling for a priest to give the last rites to an individual? That anointing that takes place right at the very end when the priest comes in. And remember when John F. Kennedy was kept alive so that the priest might arrive and anoint him, give him an extreme, the end anointing, the extreme unction. Where's that in the Bible? All of a sudden there's a non-biblical idea that says unless the priest is there to give you the last rites, which, by the way, not biblical words, and to get perform over you the ritual of the extreme unction, which, by the way, those words are not in the Bible. The only way you can express a non-biblical idea is to take a Bible word and redefine it in a way the Bible does not use it, or create a brand new word. Do you not see that when the Bible says that on the last day the righteous will be raised, and on that last day the wicked will be judged by the words of Jesus? for one to be able to come and find a millennium of in which the righteous will be raptured, it's not in the Bible. That's why you have to create a brand new word. What's going to happen on the last day? All that are in the grave will hear His voice. This earth will be destroyed, and there will be that final judgment. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 describes that day of resurrection and that day of judgment. Verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the book. When the Lord comes back as a thief, all that are in the grave will hear His voice. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12 says, there's a great white throne, and all of the dead, the important and the unimportant, all who are in the grave will hear His voice. And all of them stand before God, and they're to be judged by the things that are written in the books. Here is the book itself, made up of 66 different books. And they're going to be judged by the things that are written in these books. That's what's going to happen when the Lord comes. But there's another book that is open. And that is the book of life, which we shall discuss momentarily. But look at what happens on that day, whenever the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and the unseen world, Hades, delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his book. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know what that place is. A lake of fire and brimstone is the way Jesus describes it. And every person whose name is not in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. When's that going to happen? When all that are in the grave hear His voice and come forth. Whenever this earth is destroyed. And whenever the books are open and all give an account before God of the things that are found in the books. That's what's going to happen. But look at Matthew chapter 10. Well, we'll come to that in just a minute. Matthew chapter 25. But look at this verse that's in Revelation 20. There is mentioned here the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life? The Bible talks about that book in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about, though, and gives us insight into whose names are written in the book of life. He says in verse 23, Hebrews 12 and verse 23, you have come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Do you see that? Here is a registry that is kept in heaven. And he says, and you have come to the church of those who are the firstborn, for they are registered in heaven. The old King James says, whose names are written in heaven. Where are they written? What is the name of that registry in heaven? It is called the Book of Life. And so when you became a Christian, God wrote your name down when you became a part of the church. God wrote your name down in a registry kept in heaven, the registry being called the Book of Life. And on that final day, if your name is not in that book, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Could I point out to you, in one of the clearest passages in the Bible that talks about whether a person, individuals who was once saved would forever be saved, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5 describes names that were written in the book of life. And the Lord says, if you overcome, then I will keep you inside that book of life. Did I say chapter 2 and verse 5? I meant to say chapter 3 and verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name from the book of life. You know what that says? It says that there are those people whose names are written in the book of life, who were a part of the church of the firstborn, whose names are registered in that book of life, registered in heaven. But if you don't overcome, I will blot your name out of the book of life. Now, when you became a child of God, in that registry kept in heaven, your name was recorded. But if you're not faithful until the day that you die, the Lord will blot your name out of that book. That's why it's so important to be a Christian. Now, the final thing that's going to happen will be the separation of the righteous, those who are saved, from those who are lost. Look in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31 talks about the fact that the Lord will come back. The Son of Man will come in His glory, and all of His holy angels with Him, and He will sit on the throne of His glory. When He comes back, when those final four things happen, when all that are in the grave hear His voice and come forth, when this earth is destroyed and the elements melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Whenever there will be the judgment of all mankind, Matthew 25 verse 31 says that all nations will be gathered before Him. Isn't that what we read in Revelation 20? I saw the dead small and great as they appeared before God. And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So there is that judgment. And He says in verse 41, to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What's going to happen? When the Lord comes back, there will be the separation. Like a shepherd puts the sheep in one place and the goats in another, so the Lord will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And to those on the left hand, He says, depart from me into everlasting fire, the place prepared for the devil and his angels. Why is there a hell fire? Because that's the final destiny of the devil and his angels. But those who on this earth choose to live as children of the devil will hear these words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, or prepared for the devil and his angels. But to those who are righteous, He will say, come, ye blessed of my Father. That's found in verse 34. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What's going to happen when the Lord comes back? There will be a separation of the righteous from the wicked. To the one He'll say, you're blessed of my Father. To the other He will say, depart from me, you who are cursed. And to the one who says, who are blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the other, he'll say, depart from me, you who work iniquity. Do you understand that this sermon includes every one of us? It includes all mankind. But it includes every one of us. Either your name is registered in heaven or it is not registered in heaven. And you and I need to understand, on that final day, all that are in the grave will hear His voice. On that final day, this earth will be destroyed. On that final day, all mankind will be judged by the things that are written in this book. And there will be a separation that says to one, inherit heaven itself, and to the other, depart into everlasting fire. That's every one of us will someday hear the words, come ye blessed of my Father, or depart from me, you who work iniquity, to a place of everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If the Lord were to come back right now, where would you be? When He separates the sheep from the goats, when He separates the righteous from the unrighteous, where would you be on that day? Come, ye blessed of my Father, or depart from me, you who are cursed, to a place of everlasting torment. What if the Lord came right now? I would hope that when He came, you'd be prepared, that you would have been one who had believed in the Lord Jesus. John 8:24 says that if you don't believe that I am He, you'll die in your sin. John 3:16 says that you must believe, and whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Host of verses in the Bible talks about that. But if you're not a believer in Jesus, you're going to be lost. When you're judged, you're going to be lost because you don't believe in the Lord. But even the devils believe in the Lord, and so you must repent. If you're going to go to heaven, you must make up your minds to repent. Change your life and turn your life over to the Lord. And then you can confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Whoever confesses me before men, him I'll confess before the Father. Matthew 10:32 says, and Jesus and Romans chapter 10 says that with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. And then you need to be baptized. Baptized into the one body, into the church. And when that happens, your name is written in heaven, in the book of life. You're a part of His kingdom, His family, His church. And the Lord says, now you're now my child. And don't you give up. You be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Do you understand that? You understand how plain the Bible is about what's going to happen at the end? At the end, all that are in the grave will hear His voice. At the end, this earth will be destroyed. At the end, all mankind will be judged. And at the end, we'll either go to heaven or we'll go to hell. Is your name written in the book of life? Has it been written there and has it been blotted out? Behold, today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to come and make changes in your life, won't you do that by coming to the front as together we stand and sing, Will You Come?